Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. The Tennessee Titans host the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday, and joining us now to break it all down is Bob Kravitz. He's been covering the NFL and the Indianapolis Colts for a long time. You can find his work on bobkravitz.com. Bob, appreciate you for joining us. I know we chatted with you earlier this season when the Titans made their road trip to Indianapolis, so appreciate you for joining us again. A lot of our talk, you know, when the team is 4-7, a lot of our talk has been dominated by the future of the team, the future of the leadership. Job security for Mike Vrabel. So I'm interested to hear your perspective of somebody that's outside of Nashville, but still has close enough ties, covers a divisional opponent. I'm interested to hear your evaluation of Mike Vrabel and the job that he has done this season.
I'll be honest with you. It's amazing to me that there's even chatter about Vrabel's security. I mean, to me, he's been a great coach for a long time, and it's a little shocking to me now. Obviously, I'm not close to it. I follow the Colts primarily, but it seems to me you've got a good one there and, you know, a bad season. It's strange to me that people would be talking about his security.
And I think that it's inevitable, and that seems to be the conversation outside of Nashville is, he's a great coach. The conversation inside of Nashville is, we're sick of him, we're tired of him. You know, the Indianapolis Colts moved on from a coach not too long ago in Frank Reich. From the Indianapolis perspective, what was the tipping point for Frank Reich and what he was doing in Indianapolis?
Well, the tipping point was they got off to a slow start. The offense was atrocious. And when Jim Irsay mandated that Sam Ehlinger play over Matt Ryan, that was the end, because at that point it undermined Frank completely, cut him off at the knees, and at that point you knew that Frank was on thin, very thin ice.
This team played earlier in the season, and obviously we know what happened. That was the running back's first game back. But Zach Moss, he was the primary back, and he was able to do some things on the Titans that not many running backs were able to do. But after that game, since that game, how much better has this Indianapolis team gotten since their win, weeks ago versus the Titans?
You know, it's funny. I don't think they're tremendously better. I think they're basically the same teams. They're finding ways to win. And I'll be damned if I can figure out how. I mean, their defense is pretty good, at least the last couple of games. Their pass rush has been dynamic. But offensively, you're still trying to make a go of it with a quarterback who's probably, 25th? You know, you probably the 25th best starting quarterback in the league in Gardner Minshew. You know, if we're going to be honest about it, they've played a really soft schedule. They were 3-5, and then they played the Carolina, and they played New England out in Germany. And those are really, really bad teams. So they've gotten pretty fat and happy on some bad competition. They're an interesting team, but you look at them, you look at the stats, and you're like, how in the hell is this team 6-5 and in the playoff chase? It's kind of hard to figure, but they find ways to beat bad teams.
Now, they have a stud linebacker. They have a stud in Zaire Franklin. He's a tackling machine, and he proved it the first time the Titans played them. But they just cut one of their longtime linebackers in Shaq Leonard. Was it because of the injuries that they chose to just release him?
Yeah, I mean, it's about production. Yeah, I mean, you know this as well as anybody. Excuse my voice. Kind of going south on me. But if you watched him closely, he was not a $20 million linebacker. And they just decided that you know, I mean, they weren't playing him. He wasn't playing on third down. The week that Zaire Franklin didn't play because of an injury, Shaq thought he would get all his snaps. He did not. So I think it was good for both sides because Shaq was really unhappy with the situation. And, again, it just comes down to accountability and production, and he just wasn't a $20 million linebacker.
Bob Kravitz is with us. Bob, based on the whole evolution, this is a really interesting saga here. As well as Zach Moss has played, the whole Taylor drama, now he's injured. How do you think they feel about the investment they ended up making in Taylor, now knowing what they're doing? Obviously, hindsight being 2020.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm still at a loss to explain how he, let's say, quote-unquote, won in that scenario. You know, all the big talk from Irsay about how he would never pay him, and then he paid him. I don't think they're having buyer's remorse. I think they're happy as hell they made the trade, Nyheim Hines, for a fifth-rounder. Zach Moss is a throw-in, and Zach Moss has been, I think he's still a top 10 rusher in the league, despite the fact he hadn't played very much in the last few weeks. So, no, I don't think there's buyer's remorse. You know, JT looked as good last week as he's looked since he came back. And I think, you know, come December, assuming the thumb is healed, he's got a really good second wind in him.
As you look at the AFC South, as we know, there's young quarterbacks that are really going to write the script in the coming year. So that's where we are here in Nashville is, you know, what do they have in Will Levis? That's what they're trying to find out. As you look at the roster for the Colts, aside from Anthony Richardson, how do you think the whole roster building thing is going for them?
Okay. You know, I mean, they still need a lot of help outside at wide receiver. Michael Pittman and Josh Downs are you know, they're wide out, and their slot guy are both very good. They need – Alec Pierce has not produced the way they would have hoped, at least in my view. They need some help in the secondary, but, you know, they're in really good shape along the offensive and defensive lines, and that's what Chris Ballard has always wanted to do, was build from the inside out. And I think they're in pretty good shape there.
How does their draft look as far as draft capital? That's another thing that we're looking at here is the Titans over the years have traded a draft pick here, draft pick there to stay in contention. Now that the Colts have their quarterback, how will they approach the draft this year?
Well, I think they're going to look for weapons on the outside, look for weapons for Anthony Richardson. The big issue with the Colts will be in free agency. They're not going to have much money. Between what they're paying Matt Ryan and what they're paying Shaq Leonard, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but they're not going to have a ton of money in free agency. So they really got to hit it in the draft, and Lord only knows where they're going to be drafting. But I think they're going to be looking for secondary help, and they're going to be looking for wide receiver.
Now, moving forward, Bob, with this Indianapolis Colts team, how important is this game to them? Is there talk of playoffs? Because I know at the beginning of the season, I don't think many saw the Colts in this position. But, you know, this has turned out to be a, you know, a pretty good division where many thought it was going to be the worst division in football. But it turned out to be a pretty good – it's turning out to be a pretty good division. So what are the Colts' thoughts about this game and them potentially making the playoffs?
Well, I think if they want to make the playoffs, this is a game they got to win. It's a team that's a Tennessee team that you know better than me is struggling with the rookie quarterback, and they've got other issues. So I think they look at, you know, they got six games left. I'd say four of them are should win games. I think Tennessee is one of them. But look, they're not a dominant team. They're not going to blow anybody out. It wouldn't surprise me if this is another one of those one-score games that comes down to a late turnover. But, yeah, this is a game that they need. But it's amazing. I mean, they don't face a real quality veteran quarterback or just a quality quarterback until they face C.J. Stroud. I mean, they've got a lot of Kenny Picketts and Will Levis's that they're facing here. So they need to take advantage, and I think the defense and the pass rush is really, really important in this scenario.
Bob Kravitz is with us. He's been covering the Indianapolis Colts for a long time, and you can find all of his coverage on bobkravitz.com. But we have a tendency this season to look at the rookie quarterbacks around the league, as we are people who cover a team that did draft a rookie quarterback in Will Levis. As someone who also covers a team that drafted a rookie quarterback in Anthony Richardson, I think it's a bummer that we haven't been able to see the progression and the evolution of Anthony Richardson this season. Of course, he's been sidelined with a shoulder injury. But how would you look at this rookie quarterback class, and how would you rank these rookie quarterbacks?
Well, certainly C.J. Stroud is the class of the
He looks so good.
The whole thing. That goes without saying, but I said it anyway. Look, I think Anthony Richardson, in the short period of time, 173 snaps, looked tremendous. I think they go into next season feeling like they've got their quarterback of the future. Now, he's still going to be largely a rookie, next year. Because, like I say, 173 snaps, just five games or so. So there's still going to be a learning curve. But, in the long term, this might be a good thing for Anthony Richardson to be able to sit on the side and learn from Gardner Minshew and understand the offense better. I think Levis is clearly third, but I like Levis a lot coming out. And I still think, and I know there were some people with the Colts who really liked him too. I think that he's going to be just fine. Look, Peyton Manning was 3-13 his rookie year and set the record for rookie interceptions. So don't get too hot and bothered by what he's doing his rookie year. He'll figure it out.
And to your point about Anthony Richardson, it's kind of that age-old philosophy or question of sitting the rookie quarterback, playing the rookie quarterback. I think history has shown there's no right answer to that. But I wanted to get your perspective. Right, there is no right answer. I wanted to get your perspective, maybe what you're hearing from defensive coaches in Indianapolis, of how much they might still view Derrick Henry as a threat, how much they have to respect the run with Derrick Henry.
Oh, I mean, that's job one. And here's the deal. The Colts have been terrible against the run the last 4 weeks. So if any team is well-suited, with their strength to beat the Colts, it would be Tennessee with Derrick Henry. Grover Stewart was suspended for 4 games for a PED violation. He's their nose tackle, and he's a dominant run stopper. And since he's out, they've been giving up an average of about 140 yards a game on the ground. So, look, if Derrick Henry can go off, Tennessee can win this game. If they can stop the run and force him to be a little bit one-dimensional with Will Levis, then I think the Colts have a really good chance.
Last one from me, Bob. How do you see this one playing out? What's your official prediction for this game?
I'm going to take and I rarely do this because I'm such a negative person. I think the Colts will win it 17-14, 20-17, something like that. I think a late turnover is either going to change the game or seal the game for Indianapolis. I don't bet the under. I don't know what the over-under is, but bet the under.
42.5, I'm looking at it. And the Colts are a 1-point favorite. It's interesting.
Under.
You go under. Yeah.
Under.
Definitely.
Under. Yeah. I mean, the Colts, they got 27 points last week against Tampa and looked pretty good offensively. But I got a feeling that Henry is going to control the ball for Tennessee, and they're going to get their yards. And it's going to be a low possession game.
Bob Kravitz. He's been covering the Indianapolis Colts for a long time. You can find all of his work at bobkravitz.com. Bob, really appreciate you for joining us. Enjoy the games this weekend.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, Bob. Bob Kravitz, he is the best. He does great work, and you can find his work at bobkravitz.com. We'll get to your questions for D-Mays here in just about 15 minutes, so get those questions in for D-Mays. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Take your calls, your texts, any of your questions for Derek Mason. But I think it's interesting. I asked Bob the question about his evaluation of Mike Vrabel, and that always seems to be the response from anyone outside of Nashville, anyone outside of the Titans fan base is, I don't know how in the world his job could be in question. I think you've got a great guy. I think you've got a great coach. And maybe that's the right evaluation. Maybe we're all just looking at it way too negative. But I wonder, how bad does it have to get in order for that outside of Nashville, the national perspective to change on Mike Vrabel?
Well, I said until the national narrative changes for Mike Vrabel, he's going to remain the coach here in Nashville, regardless of, you know, unless it gets to a point where it's like, oh, okay, a no-brainer. We got to part ways. Say if they drop every game from here on out, then Amy has to start thinking, not to say that she will fire him, but she has to start thinking like, okay, is it time to make a change, or should I give this another year or so and allow them to build this roster back up? But until the national narrative changes, I think he remains the coach of the Tennessee Titans.
He's respected. Yeah. That's just how it is. And the Titans have, up until the last meeting, had very good recent success against the Colts. So I would think somebody from Indianapolis, too, would certainly have that perception of Vrabel. And the shoe was on the other foot before Vrabel got there. They couldn't beat the Colts to save their lives. I think Andrew Luck was undefeated against
the
Colts. I don't think they ever beat him. And literally, like, never beat him. And even some backup quarterbacks had success. But that was another time. But I found that interesting. He was sort of characterizing the Colts as a team that's taken advantage of a soft schedule and are kind of wondering how are we like just how we see them is how they perceive
how they
them in Indianapolis. Yeah. Like, how are they in this thing? They're 6-5. How are they doing this?
And they're like, I don't know how any Indianapolis fan could think differently. I don't know how we got here, but I'm just happy to be here.
And they look at the teams on the schedule like, we could beat these teams. We could maybe get a few more wins here. But this to me is a great test to see exactly where the Titans are. Like, beating Carolina, that was really nothing.
No.
But so this is the little next step is, okay, how do you do against a very mediocre team? Not a bad team, but a mediocre team. The type of team that you've been good enough to beat in your stadium, but not come close to. Like, take the Bucs. Indianapolis just beat the Bucs last week. Titans were overmatched by the Bucs. Couldn't block the Bucs. Got blown out. Scored 3 against the Bucs.
It was rough.
That was rough.
It was bad.
So this is a comparable team, but it's here. So how does it look? It's a really interesting game. That's why you can't predict anything in this league.
Yeah, I guess it all boils down to what Bob said. It's they did a good job at you know, corralling Derrick Henry last game. They made it an emphasis, and the Titans they didn't make enough plays in the passing game to be able to win that game. But I think all of it does, it's all on whether this defensive line of the Indianapolis Colts can stop the Tennessee Titans run game. And, you know, I sort of chuckled inside when you asked the question about stopping Derrick Henry, and I said, yeah, of course. But I'm looking at it from another standpoint, like, man, yeah, you worry about stopping Derrick Henry, but you don't worry about that offensive line. Like, other teams don't worry about this offensive line doing a great job at blocking. You see what I'm saying?
We still worry about
Derrick Henry, but this offensive line isn't good anymore. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what Derrick Henry can't do is because of the offensive line. So it takes away some of what the ability of Derrick Henry to be able to go off like he has in previous games against the Indianapolis Colts.
And the reason why I asked that question is because I was interested to hear the outside perspective, and I expected his response to be, of course, He's Derrick freaking Henry. And that's something that I think a lot of Titans fans don't realize is people are still scared of Derrick Henry. There are 31 defensive coordinators in the National Football League that are going to game plan for Derrick Henry. Yet I think a lot of Titans fans think that, oh, look at this old P-pop, Derrick Henry, that can't run the football. Nobody's scared of Derrick Henry. Got to move on from Derrick Henry, when that absolutely is not the case.
But that still could be perception more than reality. I don't think the fans are wrong to say that he has taken a slight step back this season.
And it's okay to say he's taken a slight step back versus there's a slight step back. And Derrick Henry's not the Derrick Henry that he was in 2019-2020. I think it's fair to say that. I think it's okay to acknowledge that he's not the same back. But just because he's not a 2,000-yard back that he was in 2020 doesn't mean that he's not a threat.
But he's also, like, based on the threats that they have.
Yeah.
He's still the top threat, but that doesn't mean he's a dominant player anymore.
He's the only guy that can change how the game, the outcome of the game. He's that one guy. I don't think teams fear him. I think teams respect him still, but they don't fear him because that offensive line is not good anymore. You know, it's you have a running back that still is capable of having big games, but those big games are far and few between now because the offensive line. So we're still going to respect Derrick Henry as a runner. You know, we still got to game tackle him whenever you have opportunity to. But I don't think teams fear him the way they did 2 years ago. One, possibly because, you know, yeah, he's lost a half a step, and that's neither here nor there. But I think the biggest thing is the offensive line is not good.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so teams look at it from the standpoint, we can get more penetration now. We can get to him quicker than, say, we could 2 or 3 years ago because that offensive line was damn good.
And he's not the home run hitter.
Exactly.
He's not as much of a home run hitter as he was. At least he hasn't been this year. Now, what's traditionally the month where Derrick Henry separates himself? It's December. Yeah. So here we are. So I think
Derrick-cember, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, I think, important for his career going forward, whether it's here or somewhere else. If he can have a big December, that will help his market value here. That's going to be a huge decision.
And that is a conversation that I want to get into, is the Titans' future with Derrick Henry. We'll get into Ask D-Mace coming up next. Get your questions in for D-Mace, 615-737-1025. Before we get to Ask D-Mace, one YouTube comment that I have to read. John Robinson was a Tennessee guy through and through, and I think that matters more than you may think. In comparison, ran as a Florida Gator at his core, and he hates Tennessee.
Wonder who that guy roots for.
Exactly.
My goodness.
I mean, John Robinson is from a small town, Union City, Tennessee.
John Robinson went to school in Missouri.
I hope that was his
But life. He is from Union City, Tennessee.
He's from Tennessee, and
we're here.
I
watch Union City. I broadcast a Union City team that tried to win one of these high school championship games way back when I was doing that every year. So I get it. Like, he does have roots in Tennessee, but come on.
You got a job to do.
Right.
Rand Carthon is intentionally running this program into the ground because he has a Florida Gator and hates this state.
Okay, so by that token, a Patriots fan sitting up there with, well, you can't get Mike Vrabel. He's an Ohio State guy. He's from Ohio. He's not from New England. I mean, come on, man.
Oh, we'll get into Ask D-Mace coming up next. Get your calls, get your texts in for D-Mace. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.